So it's firstly great to hear a lot of accents that are that are familiar, to be speaking a lot more Afrikaans again. It's been funny since being back. I'm just so confused about what day it is, both the date and the day. We only arrived on Friday evening, like flying across the time zones and stuff has been quite weird. But yeah, it's great to be back. And we had the privilege of visiting some of the other congregations on that side in San Clemente and in South Carolina, where there's also different Josh Gen congregations. And just encouraging to see, it's like all over the world, the Spirit is moving, as the song says. And cool to see how God is working. God is moving people's hearts to Him, drawing people to Himself. And we get to participate in that, which is the greatest joy that we have. Yeah, the start of the year, I think, speaking to a few people already, we starting to hear like the New Year's resolutions, those very optimistic goals being set out with regards to exercise. Some people a bit more spiritual in their quiet times and what that's supposed to look like. We had a conversation, won't name and shame, but eating habits and like what are we going to prioritize with food for this year? And this morning, just thinking about like starting off a new year, I want to call us not to look at new things, but actually to put before us something of old, something eternal, and that is participating in the mission and the call, the purpose of God. And that's what I want to call us to this morning as we think about the year, is just how are we positioning our lives in relation to God and His eternal purposes, and not just God come into these little areas in my life. So the way that Ryan and I have been approaching like going into the new year is reflecting on some things from this past year. And I think it's been really helpful to actually just consider a few things that actually happened and not just be overly optimistic of what is possible, but like consider this, these are the things that have taken place. How can we make some adjustments? And just looking at some things that have had an impact on us in this past year. There's one thing for me that stands out, like one experience that I had that really stands out above the rest. And I think over December, it's been quite a journey for me in thinking about this experience and like trying to unpack and ask the Lord to show me more parts of that. And I want to share this with you guys and take you along my journey with this. And we'll look at sort of from that just into the things that I want to share this morning. So, yes, was it November? End of November, there was a Google Developer Conference happening this side, and I submitted a talk for this, and I got accepted, and I was very excited, and this was a big thing for me. It's something that I sort of aspired to do, and so I got the opportunity to share at this conference, and you can think like it's a lot of work that goes into trying to prepare something. You've got this time slot. You've got this one opportunity to share with people. And so I'm taking a lot of time to prepare. The conference was happening on the Saturday. The Friday, I'm working throughout the day. In the evening, busy prepping. The morning, I'm still thinking about that. There's a lot of similarities with sermon prepping. I put in a lot of effort, made my presentation ready to go for this conference. Arrived the next day, and I expect a certain standard in how professional it's going to be, the way that it's going to be run, and the keynotes was going to start at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock comes, 9 o'clock goes, and people are still busy scrambling with a projector, and like, what's going on? And I can see, okay, things aren't running quite according to schedule, but you know what? I'm ready. I'm gonna ready for my talk that's going to be happening. I've got the slot before lunch. I'm ready to go. And things just keep going wrong in the day, and I can see everything is being shifted up. Everything's being shifted up. And I was supposed to speak at 12. At 12, the person speaking before me only starts speaking. Now, people are starting to get hungry. I'm like, how am I going to keep people's attention 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon while food is ready outside? Like, you can smell it already. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh man, I'm frustrated. Like, I spent so much time preparing this thing, and now it's just going to go to waste. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, like, I'm going to go speak to the organizer. Maybe they can move my session out after lunch. And so I get up from the session, I go out, I start looking for the organizers. And as I'm busy looking around, someone approaches me, and he's like, hey, you look familiar. I look at this guy, I'm like, I've got no idea who you are. And we start chatting, and it becomes clear we don't know each other. But it's a young guy finishing up his degree, looking for work, which I think is why he approached me. And he starts chatting and speaking about tech and his interests and all of this kind of stuff. And it's like engaging, but I'm thinking I need to speak to the organizers. And so eventually I'm like, hey man, can we just like stand there? I'm looking for the organizers. We move to the one side, keep talking. And it, you know, you get to a point in a conversation where you know you've reached the limit. You don't know what's going to come next. The best thing to do is to get out. So it's getting to that point, and this guy starts going off like, yeah, if tech doesn't work out, he wants to go into agriculture. He's very interested in that. I'm like, yeah, looking up over him, looking for the organizers. And he's like, so if you weren't doing, like, working in tech, like, what are your interests? What are your passions? And as he said that, like, I make eye contact again. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be honest with this guy. So I'm like, so if I'm completely honest with you, when I was a teenager, God came into my life. He completely changed everything in me. And it's like, even the work that I'm doing now is because God did something in me. And it's like, if I'm honest about what I'm passionate about, it's God and his people. And it's like, that is why I do what I do. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna share this and then see what happens. And this guy says, like, whoa, it's crazy that you should share that. And he starts telling me how he grew up in a non-religious house, very hectic circumstances. In high school, his best friend was a Muslim, and so he converted to Islam. And just over the last few months, he's been starting to ask questions about Jesus and about the message of Christianity. Now, this is while I'm busy looking for the organizers of the conference. I'm like, man, can we please have lunch together? Like, we need to continue this conversation. I need to try to figure out what's going to happen. I'm supposed to be speaking now. He's like, yeah, cool, let's do lunch together. I find the organizers, they apologize for things going wrong. They give me the keynote slots and shift the keynote up after lunch. So I get to have lunch with this guy, get to share Jesus with him, get to speak through things that he's experienced, get to pray with him, and then immediately from there go on and present. And just like before I interpret some of that story, an update on that. We actually spoke over the phone while we were in the States, and we're going to be meeting up soon. He sent me a message while we were in America saying, hey, I think I'm ready to be born again and want to speak to you about baptism. So hopefully we see him coming through soon. Yeah. But so I give my presentation, and like in that time, I was just like on a high, like, wow, God, you could use me for something in the midst of all of these things. It's such a privilege to do this. And then as I'm busy driving home, I'm struck by, like, I'm humbled. I'm like, man, I was so frustrated. I was so consumed with, I need to do this. Like, my talk is not going to happen. People aren't going to pay attention to what I'm going to share. I was so caught up in what I wanted to do. It required that someone approached me. Like, it required that God broke into my schedule in order to make me aware of, like, there's actually something bigger at play here. And at that point, the thing that struck me was like, oh man, how interruptible am I? Like, how how much space is there for God to actually step in and show me something that he's busy with? And that was sort of the thing that stuck with me after this conference. It's like, and my prayer started becoming like, God, interrupt my life and start showing me what it is that you're busy with. But then going into December, and as December went on, I realized that even though that might sound noble, there's actually still quite a fundamental problem to the way that I was wording that. God, break into my life. God, break into my schedule. God, disrupt my plans. And the thing is, I was putting myself still at the center and trying to say, like, God, I want to invite you into the things that I'm doing, and you can make some tweaks to that. And there was this shift that's starting to take place, and I think I'm still, and that's why I'm sharing, I'm on this journey, and I want to call us to this journey of not just seeing my life and God stepping into this, but God is moving, God is working, God's got this eternal mission, this eternal plan that he calls us to participate in. And so this morning, I want to call us to three things. The first is a shift in perspective. The second is a heart's posture. And the third is a call to participate in the eternal purpose. Perspective, posture, and participate. So let's start with a shift in perspective. So last year, as the AIM congregation, we had a time where we looked at work as worship, and the way that we work, the way we conduct ourselves in our work, and all of these things as a means of worshiping God. And I think for a lot of us, that is a big mind shift. So I want to say this is sort of the first shift of perspective that's necessary. And if you are in some of the PM congregations, I would actually encourage you guys to go listen to it. I think it was quite a significant time for us as a congregation just to realize that it's not just the person standing here on a Sunday, the person there up front on a Sunday that gets to worship God. It's not only this Sunday context, but it's there where God has placed us. We're called to make a difference. We're called to worship God. And it's quite a significant shift of this, a word people use is dualism. So like the separation between now I'm worshiping or doing work unto God, and now I'm doing my work in the world. And realizing that that needs to be unified. Like my workplace, the place that God has me, is the place where I can worship him. But I think there's a second shift that's required, and that I realized with me in this is I have seen work as the place that I can worship God, as a place that I can make an impact. But I realized after this experience that it's sort of like I have this perspective, but it's almost like I've got a button that's mission mode or intentionality or worship mode that I switch on when I'm in the workplace, and now I'm doing God's things. And then when I need to go and code again, then it's like I switch that off and I continue with things. And it's a subtle thing, but I think it's quite significant where it's not I switch on this area where I allow God to come in, but it's like, God, all of this is yours. And I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me in the way that you want me to act, the way that you want to conduct my life. And it's that in this, the first scenario, it's like breaking the separation between our church life, kingdom life, and work. But then within work, there's also that shift of like everything here, and not just when I think I'm being intentional, or when God creates this specific opportunity to give myself. And so there's that shift in perspective. But the second thing is like when we know this, there's also something that needs to happen within our hearts. And there's that shift in posture, shift in our heart's posture. And so I want us to look at 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at two portions of Scripture in 2 Timothy. So in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, it speaks about how no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And what I was saying about the shift in perspective is like, I can know that this is how things should be. But what the Bible is calling us to is saying, it's like our aim, our motivation, our stance should be to please the one who has enlisted us. Our heart's position should be to please God. And just in the language that it uses in 2 Timothy 2, there's various portions, but there's this concept of like not getting caught up and entangled in the things that the world is giving, but having that focus, that that heart's posture of pleasing him. And in the second portion, verse 20 to 21, says that in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. You can just go one slide back, please. So it's this interesting concept that that we see in Timothy, where Paul makes this distinction between people that are set apart for honorable use and people for dishonorable use. And there's a call there to cleanse yourself, to be set apart. And it uses these words, being useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. But there's something that's required there, and that's the cleansing of ourselves. And there's a shift of the heart of, like, I want to be made useful for God. I want to be pleasing to him. I want to be ready for every good work. And just in a few conversations I had over December, a question that I felt the Lord challenging me with is, what is preventing my yes? And that's what I want to ask you guys as well. It's like, we can have the right shift, like a shift in our perspective, and we can start getting to the place where it's like, I want to be pleasing unto God. But what are the things in our lives that is preventing us from really saying yes to God, from really being set apart for God? And then in this portion, just before it also, it speaks specifically about sin, where sin catches us up and entangles us and prevents us from doing the things that God has called us for. It's like, maybe for you, it's an area of sin in your life that's just keeping you captive and keeping you from giving yourself to the Lord. But it might be other things as well. Something like insecurity can be the thing that prevents your yes. I know for me, like my late teenage years into my early 20s, it's like there was this fear of engaging with people, speaking to new people, that it's like, I want to be pleasing to God, but God won't ask that of me because he knows that I struggle to speak to people. It's like, really? It's like, I've got the responsibility to put my flesh to death so that God can get the glory. It's like, is your insecurities preventing you from stepping out and doing the things that God has called you to? Are there some fears in your life that's preventing that? The fear of failure, the fear of looking stupid in front of other people, the fear that you're not going to have enough. It's like, what are those things in your life, those fears in your life that's preventing your yes? But then even something like busyness can be the thing that prevents your yes. Like, reflecting on the story that I shared at this conference, I think I was so tuned into the things that I needed to do, like the the what my schedule is. I need to fit this in, then this, then that. And that's preventing me from fully saying yes to God and the things that he wants to do. And it required this guy coming to me, like me being confronted with this opportunity in order to recognize that. Is my life and the way that I live, this heart posture of mine, being like, God, I want to ruthlessly take out the things that are preventing me from being useful to you, from being pleasing unto you. So firstly, a shift in perspective. Secondly, the heart's posture. And I think as these things are in place, the question still is, like, how do we get to that place of really participating in God's eternal purpose? And I want us to look at Colossians 1, verse 9 to 12, which is a prayer that Paul writes to the church. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. If you can go just back to the... So we see in this portion how there's this prayer that Paul has for the church, asking Jesus to fill them with the knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom, so that they may walk in a manner pleasing unto him, that they may walk in his will, that they may bear fruit unto his name. But there's this thing that he prays, is like, there's something that God needs to deposit in us in order to bear this fruit. There's something that God needs to reveal to us so that we can walk in his will. And this is something that is offered to us. And it's this interesting thing where it's both an action from our side, but also a receiving from God. Where it's like, as Paul prays, it's like, it's impossible for us to just conjure this thing up. It's impossible for us to just know this. We require something from the Lord. But we have the responsibility of coming to him and allowing him to come and shape our way of thinking, allowing him to come and speak to us in our day-to-day lives, that we may be filled with the knowledge of God, that we may be filled with the knowledge of his will for our lives. And I think there's these two sides to it. It's like, the one is, as we see in Romans 12, where it says there's this transformation of our mind. There's something that God does in us and forms within us as we spend time with him, as we in the Word, as we in fellowship with each other. There's a forming of the way that we see the world, the way that we see our work, the way that we see the people around us that God needs to do. I'm always struck when I think about the story of Paul. I think it's in Acts 16 where Paul gets arrested and they are in jail, and it says how they are praising God and singing hymns. And as they're busy, their chains fall off. And if I was in that situation, it's like, oh, God freed me. I'm going to get out here. But we see how Paul notices the prison guard and actually engages with the prison guard and leads him to the Lord. But it's like, there's something that has been formed in Paul to actually know what is important to God. And in that specific scenario, to notice that here's an opportunity that God has placed in front of me that I can give myself to. And so there's a formative part in knowing the will of God. And then there's the in-the-moment part as well. And we would speak about being led by the Spirit. It's like as we are going about life, that there's this unction and this like God prompting me to step out in a certain way, identifying certain things. And it's like these things need to work hand in hand. It's like some people would say, it's like I just never feel led to share the gospel or led to engage with people. It's like, I think there's a problem there. If we are being formed into the likeness of God, we are going to get stirred. It's like, I'm not saying that every single moment of your life you are engaging, but if you never are, it's a sign there's something wrong. And so for us to participate in the things that God has called us to, we need to have our minds renewed. We need to have this perspective that he gives us. And so the call in this is, how are we making time for the Lord to shape us, to form us? And I want to call us to responding in that way in this year of like coming before the Lord and asking him, it's like, God, fill me with the knowledge of you. Give me your heart. Give me your eyes for the people around me. And so just looking again at the three things that I want to call us to going into this year is that shift in perspective where it's not my life, the things that I hold on to, and God, I give you these different areas, but Lord, every single part of my life is yours. A shift in perspective, a heart's posture of God, I want to be pleasing unto you. I want to be ready for every good work. And then actually participating in God's eternal purpose by allowing him to come and form and shape us, and identifying those things that he has called us to and stepping out in that. And as I've been on this journey, I believe in, like, as I was praying just what to share, I believe that this is something that God is calling all of us to in this year of not just to set out our own goals and the things that we want to accomplish, but to, as a church, come behind the things that he is already busy with and to take up our inheritance in him. So I want to ask if we can stand and just, we can bring our lives before God and close in prayer. I think that the thing I want us to consider as I close is the question I asked of what is preventing your yes? What is preventing you giving your all to God and stepping out in obedience for the things that he has called you to? And if we can close our eyes and just consider that in our own lives, and invite the Lord into that, and as sincerely as you can, bring that before the Lord and ask him to come and work out that thing in your life. Jesus, thank you that you call us